I realized I'd made a tactical wife error, so I immediately switched into a more laid-back mode. Well, the beauty of this couch is it's all slip-covered. It's a wash-and-wear couch. It doesn't matter if it gets dirty because I'll just wash it with bleach and it'll be brand new again. This is the best money we've ever spent. I promise, it's all fine. Everything is fine. A week later, I had some girlfriends over for a wine night, and one of them accidentally spilled almost an entire glass of Cabernet on the center cushion. I played the role of gracious hostess as I explained, "It's no big deal because bleach!" The next morning, I stripped all the slip covers off, washed and bleached them for the first time, threw them in the dryer, and then began putting them back on the cushions. That's when I discovered all those white couch evangelists are either gluttons for punishment or in much better physical shape than I am because people have finished triathlons with less sweat and exertion than it took me to get those slipcovers back on the cushions. There was profanity involved. I tore my clothes and covered myself in sackcloth and ashes when it was all over. What fresh hell hath Pinterest and my pride wrought? I couldn't admit to Perry that I'd made a costly tactical error. Even as he occasionally declared, "Babe, we aren't white couch people," I insisted we were. "We are clean. We shower. And look how good that couch looks for all of 38 seconds once every 3 months when I muster the inner fortitude to wash, dry, and repeat." Then we brought home two new puppies, Piper and Mabel, who developed a penchant for flying through our back door and making a running leap onto the white couch, muddy paw prints be hanged. This was the final straw that proved to be the tipping point of my delicate grasp on sanity, which resulted in a tearful confession to Perry. "I can't do this. I cannot live like this. Babe, we are not white couch people. Everybody be so tired of this white couch." He hugged me, and I'm sure there were all manner of "I told you so" comments raging inside his head. But he is a smart man and just said, "Why don't we look into getting a new couch?" And with that, I ordered a new brown leather couch so fast it would make your head spin. Brown. I wanted all brown. I am a brown couch that can be wiped clean with some leather cleaner kind of person. It's not nearly as Pinterest worthy, but it helped me quit walking around like a woman in need of a lot of medication, although I continued to be a little disappointed that I wasn't up to the white couch challenge. Maybe those teachers were right after all, and I am not living up to my potential. But you know what I was doing with all my visions of what life should be, could be, and ought to be based on Pinterest and bad movies from the 70s and 80s? You know what we all do when we sit around thinking about our fantasy someday? We miss the holiness of this moment we're living right now. There will never be another one like it, and even if that makes you think, "Thank God, because my life currently stinks," there are still lessons to be learned, character to be built, and stories that will be told about where you are right now. God takes all of it, the mundane and the ugly, the clean couch and the wine spills, the ordinary and the occasional extraordinary. And when we allow Him to add His grace, His mercy, and His outrageous love, He adds a brushstroke there and some color here and so paints it into all one glorious work of art. One that only He can achieve through us where we are right in that moment, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our classrooms, in our communities and world. No one else can live our story, so maybe it's time to embrace all that is uniquely ours and realize that is exactly what makes it special. Small things. Things I wish I'd known in high school. You see us as you want to see us, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one...